Hi, good morning. Hi, good morning and welcome to Great Shelford Free Church. It's good to be together and worshipping as a church community, even though we're not present in the same building. Apologies if you feel a bit seasick, having watched Jacob on his scooter on the way to church. Hopefully you'll recover from that. We'd love to hear some prayer requests throughout the service. So if you have a prayer request, please do send it through in a comment box and then we'll do our best at the end of the service to pray for those concerns and those issues that have been raised in your comments. Also on the website and also in the link, you had a link to some children's activities. Hopefully you've been able to download those and get those going as the service is happening this morning. We'd also love for you to have a virtual cup of coffee with us after church. So that's at 11:30. The details are on the Facebook site, so just follow the link. And we'd love to see as many after the service there to gather for some fellowship and just to catch up with one another. Then this evening at 8 o'clock, Bismarck and the team will be leading our prayer meeting. It's become a popular opportunity just to gather to pray for our nation, for our church, and for those that we care and love. So please, if you're able, do join us at 8 o'clock this evening. We're going to, in the coming weeks, trial launching Alpha Online. So Trevor and Diana have been working behind the scenes to work out quite how we do it. They'll be sharing a little bit more next week, but maybe you might want to start thinking and praying. Is it something I want to do? Is it something I want to encourage others to do, where we might learn together and grow together in our faith? Just a notice to church members, you should have received an email already or a letter in the post. There's an important proposal that we've have to get an approval through church members. So please do read it, reply straight away. Don't leave it in your inbox. Let's get it replied and then Gillian's job a little bit easier. We're going to have an opportunity to start our service with some liturgy. So the words should appear next to me. If you say the words in bold, and I'll say the other words. So if you say bold, I'll say the rest. So we all say together, praise the Lord. Praise God from heaven. Praise him from the mountaintops. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all you warriors. Praise the Lord. Praise him from the kitchen. Praise him from the living room. Praise him, all you labourers. Praise him, all you job seekers. Praise the Lord. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, the morning star. Praise him, high heaven. Praise him, heavenly rain clouds. Oh, let them praise the name of God, for he spoke them into being. Praise the Lord. Praise him, banks and governments. Praise him, hospitals and health centres. Praise him, schools and universities. Praise him, theatres and media. Oh, let them praise the name of God, for he spoke leadership, care, learning and creativity into being. Praise the Lord. Praise him, young and old. Praise him, all you lonely. Praise him, all you busy. Praise him, all you bored. Praise the Lord. Praise him when you're happy. Praise him through the dark times. Praise him when you're working. Praise him when at rest. Praise the Lord. Let all praise the name of God. It's the only name worth praising. His glory above all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, Charlotte is going to open our time of sung worship. So we'll hand over to Charlotte now. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone.
Oh,
Well, thank you, Charlotte. We really appreciate you singing and having this important ministry for us here at the Free Church. So thank you so much for being willing to juggle that in your busy week. But we do appreciate you and Chris and the family very much. Now we've been doing something called This Time Tomorrow, or a variation of This Time Tomorrow, where we've had an opportunity to interview someone about their week, about their life, and then that person to lead us in prayer. So this week, Liz Jenkin, one of our elders, had a chat with Gemma Hill. So we're going to listen to that interview now.
Hi, Gemma. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, we're just still in lockdown, as are you.
Yeah.
Since this last 8 weeks, how's it been for you? How's life changed?
Yeah, it's changed quite a lot. I suppose the sort of day-to-day changes are just generally more time at home, like everybody, due to a combination of having a period of self-isolation as a family because of illness. And no toddler groups and activities for Alfie, not being able to go to friends' houses for play dates and things like that. And then David's been furloughed in the last 3 weeks, so he's had a lot more time at home as well. And obviously, living where we live, we used to just pop out to the shop and things like that, and we're not living like that anymore. We're a lot more careful about how much we go out and with our trips to the shop, living to them to once or twice a week. So that's a really different lifestyle for us. So, and then at work, clinically, most of my work is shifted onto the phone. So that's really different. But I suppose the most kind of fundamental change for us, for me particularly, is seeing family a lot less. So especially my parents, who provide us with a lot of practical emotional support, you know, seeing them, like, probably saw them every 2 to 3 weeks, either here or where they live or mutual venue. And so we'd normally have had a big celebration at Easter, and we had a family holiday planned at Centre Parks for all of my family. So kind of big periods of time spent with them that we've missed out on, but we would have seen them anyway, probably at least for 3 or 4 times in these weeks. And they obviously help us with childcare as well. And we enjoy seeing them with Alfie. So we've just, that's how it's changed the most, I'd say.
And so very frustrating being so near the wreck and yet not being able to go out there very often.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we've made good use of it. But actually, for the first time today, we took Alfie there twice, as is the new rules.
Not on the swings.
Yeah, not on the swings, no playground, so that's really tough. But He stopped clinging onto the gate now, so that's good. He enjoys kicking his ball around. He's a budding footballer, so that's really good. Yeah. Keeps him occupied and likes the big duck, which is the swan. So that keeps him occupied, yeah.
Yeah. So what's been a blessing for you in this time?
So the blessings have been kind of a strange blessing, has been that because I have asthma, which doesn't seem like a blessing, I wasn't redeployed to the wards. So I've been able to stay in my specialty at work in hand therapy, one of only two of us who have stayed in hand therapy. So most of it's being doing phone calls, which is really strange and tough for us and the patients, but we've adapted and we are starting to see the odd trauma patient here and there, but we felt safe. We've had, you know, the appropriate PPE.
Good.
And you know, everyone's really good at sort of social distancing in our department. Our manager, who's a new manager because my old manager retired, is really, really compassionate. And so that's been a real blessing. And she retired after however many, what seemed like hundreds of years in the NHS, right in the middle of the lockdown. Wow. So a massive change, but actually a positive one for us. So that's that. But also, I suppose Alfie's the biggest blessing. Even though it's hard work with a toddler in the confined space and not being able to take them out much, it's actually like he's so happy and silly. So it's a massive distraction. Yeah. He's, I think, thankfully of an age where he won't remember it.
Yeah.
Also, he doesn't really notice that anything's different because he actually has a place at nursery because I'm a key worker. So although he hasn't been as much because of our isolating and David being off work and annual leave that we couldn't cancel and things like that, he can go to nursery and he really enjoys that. And the staff there have been amazing. So that's really good. And he is blissfully unaware of the whole situation, which is good fun, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And now you're going to lead us in a time of prayer, Gemma, is that right?
Yeah, I can do that.
So let's listen to that then. Thank you.
Okay. So everyone, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, I just want to first thank you that even though things feel out of control sometimes and absolutely like a film, like a movie, you are in control and you give us a peace beyond all understanding. And I just pray that you help us to have a heavenly perspective on all of this and look to you for all of our comfort and for guidance. And I just pray for those that are unwell, particularly in the hospital, not being able to have visitors, and for the amazing staff at Addenbrookes that are caring for them. I also pray for the vulnerable people who are shielding and isolated in their homes, and especially those who live alone or unable to see anybody, and pray for those that have had treatment that has been disrupted as a result of this pandemic. And I just pray for our leaders in the world and for our government to make wise decisions and to communicate with clarity to avoid unnecessary anxiety and to help improve compliance and therefore a way out of this lockdown. I pray as we make those tentative steps to return to some normality and those going out to work, that they feel safe to return and avoid taking unnecessary risks. I pray particularly for parents, giving them strength to keep going despite lack of family support and the extra pressures of keeping little ones occupied with limited resources or in homeschooling. I pray for those facing the socioeconomic consequences of this pandemic and the financial uncertainty that a lot of us are facing at the moment, and for all those missing family members and for grandparents missing their grandchildren at this time. I pray you give them comfort and hope that it won't be too far around the corner. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gemma. God bless. Please.
Well, thank you, Liz and Gemma, for leading us in that prayer. We appreciate your thoughts and reflections, and it's lovely to see, just hear a little bit about your life and to hear about Alfie as well. And we look forward to a time when we could all gather again. But thank you, Gemma, for making the time to do that interview. Now, a number of people just tune in to see Clive. So we're going to join Diana and Clive as they lead us in a little reflection. So over to Diana and Clive.
Well, good morning, everyone. We hope you're all well today and that you've all had a good week. You've had a good week. You've learned a new skill. What skill have you learned, Clive? You've learned how to eat a donut without licking your lips. Well, that's a very interesting skill. Perhaps it could be a challenge to people at home. Okay, Clive is setting you a challenge. Can you eat a sugary donut without licking your lips? Or an ice cake? A sugary donut or an iced cake without licking your lips? It's easy, as long as you don't mind having sugar on your face. Wow. I read an article that said that 4 in 10 people have learned a new skill during lockdown. Some people will have learned something really useful, not like eating a sugary donut without licking your lips. Lots of people have learned new skills with technology, like making Zoom calls or putting a live stream service together. You wonder what skills the people watching have learned. Well, I wonder that too. Perhaps baking. Or woodwork. Or gardening. Or dancing, maybe. Or playing a musical instrument. I think a lot of people who haven't got much time have learned to juggle. You'd like to know. So if you've learned a new skill, do let us know. And it's not too late. What, to learn a new skill? Of course not. It's never too late to learn something new. And as lockdown continues, there are lots of opportunities for lots of us to learn new things, if we want to. You want to learn a new skill. What, apart from donut eating? What would you like to do? You'd like to learn to play the piano. Wow, that would be amazing. Will I teach you? I think that would be a bit difficult. Why? Because I can't play the piano. You don't think that matters? I can assure you it does. If I taught you to play, you would only learn to make sounds. You wouldn't learn to play properly. You see, in order to learn something new, you need a teacher who can actually do the task you want to learn. Someone who can show you how to do it properly. Someone to follow. Someone to learn from. Like when we made biscuits. Yes, we got the recipe from Janet. She'd made them before and she knew that it would work. She was the teacher. and we followed her instructions. We were her pupils. Yes, we were her students or her apprentices. Did you know that sometimes those who follow Jesus are called his apprentices? You like that. He is the teacher and they follow his instructions. So they're the apprentices. That's right. I like to think of myself as Jesus' apprentice. I can follow Jesus knowing that he has gone before me. I can trust him to show me the right way to go. Sometimes I get it wrong if I'm not listening or paying attention. But he always helps me to get back on track. And in the same way, he helps all of us who follow him. Being an apprentice of Jesus is good. There are lots of new things to learn. There are. And yet he always helps us because he knows the way to go. So I can't teach you to play the piano. No. But you could teach me to eat a donut without licking my lips. Okay, that sounds a good plan. Let's go and eat the donuts. We need to say goodbye first. And don't forget to tell us what new things you've learned. And don't forget the donut challenge. Okay, let's say goodbye. Goodbye. See you next time.
Well, thank you, Diana and Clive. It's lovely to hear from you. And that story that they've shared is very relevant to the scripture verse and some reflections they're going to have this morning. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to read from verse 14. So that's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Just like to share some reflections on that scripture. It's fair to say that many and probably most of our country and around the world are desperate for the answer to how we find a way out of our current situation, so that those who are going through the worst of the suffering at this time might find peace, might find work and find stability in their lives. But it's hard to plan for something you've never experienced before. It's very challenging also to follow someone who doesn't know where they're going, even if they might be trying their best. Imagine you want to take up running. It's hard to get advice from someone who's never put on a pair of trainers. Imagine learning to drive. How would someone who's never been in a car ever be able to tell you what to do? Who would want to buy a cookbook from someone who's never cooked before? Why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we take advice from people who have never done that challenge? Well, it's because in learning something, in mastering something, it transforms us and changes us. If it's learning to cook, it's the failures of cooking that we learn from. Also, the polite faces around the dinner table trying their best to eat what you might have cooked. It's the depths that we go through and the failures that we grow from that teach us and enable us to show others the way. We learn from our successes, but also from our failures. That's why when we interact with people and someone might put a throwaway comment in, Maybe they make that comment with little or no knowledge of what they're talking about or what you're going through. That's why that hurts so much. When someone's quick to judge or arrogant enough to presume, they've often mastered the art of the shallow and never delved into the depths of things. This is never more true when it comes to our faith. I've met too many masters of the shallow and nowhere near enough of the deep. We're all too easily attracted to the simplicity of the quick fix. Why wouldn't we be? It looks so simple. But often the quick fix is the shallow and not the deep. A phrase that struck me a number of years ago is there's always a lot of splashing in the shallow end. It's a phrase I connect with spirituality. But it takes my mind to a swimming pool. You might have been there recently. In the shallow end is where the children are, splashing around, there's noise. Well, that's the shallow of our faith as well. There's often lots of shouting, pronouncing, busyness and fret. But in the deep end is where you find the peace, where you find those who calmly swim. Sometimes their presence can barely be noticed above the water. I would love us as a church to wrestle with the truth that God is not found in the shallow places, but hides in the depths. Teresa of Avila, in her book, The Interior Castle, talks about a journey of faith in a series of mansions. The first mansion is really noisy and it's full of distractions because it's so closely connected to this noisy world. But as you travel through the mansions, the direction of travel takes you to stillness and a peacefulness. I have to admit, I only got a few chapters in. Me and Neil tried to read that book and we failed. Some things are just too deep right now. But that journey of the shallow to the deep, I think, is poignant as we wrestle with our own faith. The pull and the direction of our faith should very much be towards the depths, to the peace of walking this world with God close to us, with the learning that comes from being led by the Spirit. To that end, we discover that we have a high priest, Jesus, who is able to empathize with our weaknesses, who has walked ahead of us and walked to the depths of faith. He walked in faith and did not sin, Scripture says. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, we can understand in the sense that Jesus didn't miss or wander from the path of righteousness to do or go wrong. Jesus had mastered his spirituality. He was able to walk this earth with a full knowledge of righteousness. He was able to lead without learning from his mistakes. He was, in fact, beyond those mistakes. His journey was one of enlightenment and peace. Imagine learning something from someone who's mastered something in their lives. They're able to guide and direct you in ways others could only dream of. Here, Jesus was able to teach from a point of full knowledge and power. Wherever we might look for guidance in life, we always follow flawed guides, always someone who isn't perfect. Here, though, in Jesus, in thinking of Jesus as the high priest, as the book of Hebrews does, we have a window into this flawless guide. That's why Scripture is so important to Christians, because it records in human hands the wisdom of God. That's why it's so precious to us. But we have to learn to dig into the depths of that wisdom and seek the riches that lie within. And it's no simple walk. Even though this journey is a tough one, we can walk with some confidence, because just like the example of a patient teacher who speaks with grace and wisdom, aware of students' limitations and lack of knowledge, Jesus gives mercy and grace. That is the consequence of walking in Jesus' footsteps. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The high priest is a guiding light for us in our journeys to the depths. We're not to stay in the shallows of our faith, but risk learning from the depths of the deep. That's where Jesus was, and that's where we're called to be also. Jesus didn't stay in the shallows. He led to the depths of spirituality. I pray that me and you would discover some of the depths of faith at this time, that you wouldn't settle for the superficial, but earnestly desire the great expanse of our journey of faith with the confidence of being a child of God. It's important that as we learn together, grow together, that we delve into the depths of our spiritual journey with God. I pray that you might find something that encourages you on your own spiritual journey in these coming weeks and months. I'd love to pray for us, and then Charlotte's going to lead us in a closing song. Lord God, I thank you that you lead into the depths of life. You don't leave us in the shallows. You demand that we grow in our faith, that we learn in our faith, not in a harsh way, but in a gracious way. Thank you that you love us enough to guide us and direct us. Help us as a fellowship, help us as a church. Help us to grow and learn together. Amen. Well, Charlotte's going to lead us in our song, King of Kings. Thank you, Charlotte. Well, thank you, Charlotte. Thank you so much for leading us in that time of worship. We have some prayer requests that I'm going to read out this week. I'm going to lead us in a time of praying for those, for these people and their requests. Thank you so much for putting them on the comments box. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray for Joel's sister and her husband, Rachel and James, as they await their first baby, who's due tomorrow. We pray for families near and away with restrictions being lifted. I pray that they would have support and grace. I pray for families who are homeschooling and have to work through the decisions and the impacts of schools reopening in the coming weeks. We pray for the colleague of Chris Smith, whose mother is in intensive care in these weeks. We pray for those who are without food and without basic needs at this time. We pray that they might find strength and courage. And we pray for those dealing with mental health issues, so aware that we have so many who wrestle with and struggle with mental health in our community and in the world. Lord God, I pray for those troubled minds that you might bring peace and grace. Amen. Now, I've lost my clicker. Please do join us after our service for a cup of coffee. We've got about 15 minutes. And if you're in the youth group, don't forget, Tilly meets at 11:45. I'd love to say a prayer of blessing, and then we're going to finish with a Thy Kingdom Come video, which we'll play just at the end. So please feel free to listen to that or to log off after that's been played. But we look forward to catching up with as many as possible for tea and coffee after our service. I'd love to pray a blessing for you now. Lord God, in your wisdom you created us. By your providence you rule us. Penetrate our innermost being with your holy light, so that our way of life may always be one of faithful service to you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. God bless. Thank you for joining us, and look forward to seeing as many as possible for a cup of coffee. Thank you.
Thy kingdom come, Lord, teach us how to pray, for all to know your joy, your peace and love, and know your friendship each and every day. The breath of Christ the Father, gentle death. Thy kingdom come, and Christ's bread to make us one. That see truth and care. Nations renewed in giving thanks and praise, to see God's kingdom come. This is our prayer. And